All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm talking to you from New York City on this 17th day of August, 2021. I do want to remind you that I'm the editor of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and you can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. We like to plug Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Go to chenpicks.com for that. And Michael Oliver, who's with us today, we also like to remind you to go to olivermsa.com to pick up on what Michael is doing and really to consider subscribing to Michael's excellent work. I have to say, Michael will be with us in just a couple of minutes here, but I have to say that he was, once again, very helpful to me recently with this smackdown in the gold price. It does sort of unnerve you unless you can see the bigger picture and the momentum and structure, and that's what Michael looks at, and we'll be talking to him about that in just a couple of minutes. So I do also want to thank all of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more profitable, bigger shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also like to encourage you to send along whatever comments you have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions4@gmail.com. Our sponsors for today's show: Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, NV Gold Corp, and Firefox Gold. And by the way, in a few minutes from now, we will be speaking to Patrick Highsmith. He's the chairman of Firefox Gold, to get an update on that company's very exciting exploration target in Finland, a really underexplored area that with a great deal of promise and some good drill results so far. So we're looking forward to talking to Michael in the second segment of today's show. I've titled today's show, Profiting from the Coming Dollar Collapse. John Rubino, Patrick Highsmith, and Michael Oliver are with me. In 2004, John Rubino and James Turk wrote The Coming Collapse of the Dollar and How to Profit from It. In part one of the book, titled Why the Dollar Will Collapse, the authors passed along a quote from John Maynard Keynes, who stated in his book, The Economic Consequences of the Peace, Keynes said, and I quote, "There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction and does it in a manner which not one man in a million can diagnose," end of quote. So, indeed, Keynes is right about that. People don't understand where inflation is coming from. You're probably going to hear people say it's COVID, it's shortages, it's supply chain issues, anything but the really basic cause of inflation, and that is the debasement of the currency, or the debauchment of the currency, as Keynes called it, massive inflation of the supply of money. And we are in that in a massive way, the biggest way that I can remember in my 74 years of life in America. And so here we are, 50 years after President Nixon set the stage for America to be sucked into a spiraling debt vortex in which the only response our Federal Reserve can have now is hyperinflation of the supply of money. And now in the process of doing that, destroy our free market capitalist system that has made us the wealthiest country in the world. With the destruction of the American Republic and its economic system well underway, and now with America's geopolitical dominance looking very shaky in light of the loss of Afghanistan, how much longer can the dollar survive? With the Biden administration spending trillions upon trillions of dollars that can only be funded with computer money or money created out of nothing, can hyperinflationary destruction of the purchasing power of the dollar be avoided? Those are all topics that I hope to discuss in some detail with John Rubino. in the second actually in the final segment of today's show. And as I mentioned, just Patrick Highsmith will be with me in the second segment, but right now I'm really happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with us once again to give us an update on those markets that we watch most closely. Welcome, Michael, and thanks for joining us. Talk to us about what's on your mind. What is most important to you right now that we should be watching?
Well, a couple things. Since June, mid-June, remember, the Fed came out with their statement, their minutes, and it hinted at, oh, at some future date, maybe 2023, they might taper. Okay, you know, so gold took tanked. It was about 8 or 10 trading hours, actually, it dropped. And it took several weeks to base and turn back up and have a nice rally. And then a Fed governor came out last week sometime and made a statement to that effect, saying it might be sooner if they tank gold again. And also, but that there was also the coincident nighttime selling of tons of gold, you know, by who knows what, you know, and you could have a conspiracy theory about that, it seems to me. Most of the conspiracy theories, I think, are false, but that one strikes me as kind of funny, because if he were selling, if the broker were selling that much gold that quickly for a private client, he wouldn't do it that, you know, recklessly.
No.
I mean, you know, the guy's losing money on the sale, you know, it's collapsing. Mm-hmm. Instead, he would feed it in slowly over a period of time and distribute out the guy's long position. But no, it was intentional. So whoever did it, I don't know. They don't control the market. History's proven that. Go back and research the IMF gold sales of 16 tons of gold from 1976 through 1980, trying to suppress the gold market, and it didn't work. Okay, so yes, there may be government forces that do this, but ultimately, gold has been trading at twice where it was in 2015. So, you know, they're not under that much control, okay? But anyway, what's so interesting is that over the last six trading days, gold has regained $120 from its traded low early last week. And nobody's noticing it much, not the financial press. $120, okay, decided day versus the December contract low. Okay, but I think what I'm really watching is this. I had an itch this morning, and sometimes when you have a methodology, no matter what your realm of professionalism is, you know, medical or scientific, whatever, sometimes you have an itch that comes from the cumulative knowledge that you've got cooking around in your brain, okay? I can see the pending breakage of the leadership symbols in the stock market. They look like they're setting up for something near-term to start the process. And I don't mean crash, I don't mean a March 2020, but I'm talking about if the NASDAQ 100, SOX Index, Microsoft, Amazon, and Apple, if those symbols start breaking good, solid momentum trend structures below them, and they have them, in other words, the structures are built, and if you build a structure and you're sitting on top of it, it's something to break, in other words. And you can't go down unless there's something to break. Well, they built that something to break, and they're not all that far away from the beginning numbers of the process. I'm suspecting that we're going to start to see that unraveling process among the leadership of the market soon, very soon, like in the next days, weeks, and especially in this quarter, such that by the time you get into next quarter, it could really start to unravel. So that's what we're monitoring right now. Well, why is that important? Well, because the Fed knows good well that if the stock market gets weak, and you know, let's say just 10%, it's going to hurt sentiment. And we noticed that consumer sentiment's dropped sharply recently.
Right.
You know, some of these metrics that the Fed is watching aren't upticking; they're downticking. The financial press is pointing to the inflation, but the Fed is seeing things, numbers that unemployment aren't getting to their levels. Consumer confidence dropped surprisingly to them. I think even some industrial production numbers didn't come in quite where they wanted them. You add to that a weak stock market, and I don't mean a crashing one, but just a weak one, and they are not going to taper. At Jackson Hole meeting, they're going to come out and they're going to push it off again. And I think gold knows that. I think the people investing in gold, the big money people, sniff that as other asset categories weaken, they better own more gold. And I think that's the process we're in right now. So watch the leadership in the stock market. That's what we're focused on at MSA, defining the downturn in Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, SOX Index, NASDAQ 100, because when they go, the market's going.
Michael,
that will be go ahead.
What I understand you're saying then is here they talk about taper and gold goes up, which you'd expect gold to tank.
In effect, the Fed reaffirmed what the rumors were, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of days ago, there were four Fed governors came out and said they wanted to taper September, okay?
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong voice, you know, and Powell said something, but we're starting to get concerned about inflation. Well, okay, that's sort of affirming the rumor, okay?
Right,
and yet
right.
gold has rallied $120 in the last six trading days.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe the smart money is looking ahead and figuring, you know,
right.
one step
that's
ahead what's going to happen. Once you taper, the market's mm-hmm. going to tank. And then we know what you're going to do after that.
Or the market's going to tank and they're not going to taper at all, either way, whichever way you want to figure it. Mm-hmm. But I think gold suspects that, and I think smart money is not looking at headlines. They don't sell headlines. Amateur mm-hmm. traders sell headlines. So mm-hmm. the people that sold the Fed news back in June and then sold it a week ago, you know, they're looking at themselves saying, well, what's going on here? It's back up. 120 off the low in 6 days. So anyway, I think we're at an interesting moment here. I think it's getting very close, and that's why the MSA is. Go ahead.
Michael. You know, I'm looking because I watch the gold shares very closely, of course, and it seems to me that the gold shares have been more correlated to the weakness, sort of the topping pattern of the market. I think you said the last time we had you on, you saw a topping pattern. Now it seems like you're saying it again with these key companies, but. It just seems to me that we could expect some weakness in the gold shares, I would think, along with the equity market
I disagree.
Well, I hope you're right because I have a vested interest in you being.
Yeah.
But my fear always is that, you know, when the margin clerk calls, you have to sell whatever you can sell. That's, you know, so in the short run, isn't it possible we could see a stronger dollar in some of these?
Well, we're seeing one right now, but it's strong within a 3% range. It's been in a 3% range for 12 months. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's like it's been beat down to the curbstone, and it's just flopping around down there in 90 to 93 zone, mm-hmm. which when you look at that last 12 months, go back to last July even, that's the narrowest one-year range, I think, in the history of the dollar. In terms of percent volatility from high to low. So it's a whimpering market. And where that's occurring on its long-term annual momentum is there's a trend line that goes back to 1988, 33 years, on annual momentum that we're laying on for the last 10, 12 months on the momentum chart, where you can't get off the line, which says to me that the momentum is anemic. At the best, it's holding, and everybody who sees an uptick in the dollar thinks it's something big, but it's within a range that's so trivial, it's hardly a day trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
My goodness. So what you're talking about here then, if you're looking at a floor for the dollar over 33 years, if I understand you,
actually, we've eroded it a bit, but each time we've hit this trend line, going back to 1988, we've exploded off the line. This time, the dollar's laying on the line.
Oh.
In other words, it's hugging the line. It's saying, "Oh, I got to hold," but it's not mustering a rally of any consequence, and it hasn't for a year, and it's tried like three or four times.
So the point is, it seems to me, the point in my mind is that if it breaks that uptrend, that 33-year
Yes.
But then we're looking at something very significant on the downside, potentially.
I would say you don't want to see 91 traded again. Certainly don't want to see 90 traded again on the dollar index. Right now the dollar is at 93, it's dollar index. So you're a couple percent above death numbers. And I don't think the dollar is a leader. Mm-hmm. It's a glacial market. A 10% move in that market is monstrous.
Oh, sure.
It's not good, you know. And so I see, you know, another major decline in the dollar coming after this holding pattern breaks down, and I think it's going to break down. But it's not a leading market, so to look at it as a leader is misleading. In fact, if you look for dollar leadership, you would never have gone long gold.
Right.
Back in 2015 or 16.
That's true.
You know, where's the dollar? It's where it was then, you know.
Gold and treasuries and the dollar are a place to go. A lot of people went to it during times of trouble. Michael, thank you so much for your insights. Very, very valuable, as always. And we'll look to talk to you in a couple of weeks from now again if you're available. So thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks, Jay.
Alrighty, folks, we do have to go to break, but don't go away. Patrick Highsmith, he's the chairman of Firefox Gold, will be with us. He had some numbers that came out this morning, and we'll ask him about that with the significance of the latest assays that have come out. very exciting company, I think, and a very low market cap means that those who see the potential might benefit very nicely. At least that's what I'm hoping, as I have put some of my own money into this company, Firefox Gold. So we'll be back with Patrick Highsmith right after the break. Don't go away.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.